G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. We have a very exciting episode for you today, one we've been looking forward to, and that's because it is the forwards episode. Very exciting. My name is Will. I'm joined today by the wonderful Jono. How are you going, Jono?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Excited to be here.
Very exciting. And I'm also joined by Mel. How are you going, Mel?
I'm good. I loved your pun, and I'm devastated I didn't think of that myself.
Very good. That's why I'm here, is to put the puns out there. So, forwards. Very exciting line for us. Just to give a bit of a lay of the land, there's 161 players for our coaches to choose from, which is about 30% of all of the players available to us. There's a lot of rookie options, 14 from the draft, but also a number of other options, lots and lots of cheaper players that you can get. But the forwards is a very interesting line. We've got one player who averaged 77.3 last year, which was the Giants' Zali Goldsworthy, and then no other players averaged over 70, with our second highest averaging player being Caitlin Gould from Adelaide, just below that on 69. But there's a lot of scope for improvement. There are eight currently listed players that you can pick in your forward line that did average over 70 in the season previous, which means there's going to be a lot of value for us. And that's something we're going to talk a lot about shortly. The highest score by any forwards last season was by Greta Bodie of the Hawks. Scored a massive 123 in round 4 against St Kilda. Still not a massive score when you compare it to some of the other lines, which just goes to show it's a pretty even line up forward. Lowest averaging line by far. As we said, none that averaged over 80. So we're going to be looking for value is probably the biggest point of difference that the forward line has to your other lines. A lot of range at the top. There's plenty of players that averaged in that sort of 60 zone. So figuring out who's going to be the highest averaging players on the forward line is going to be pretty key to all this, especially when we've got ones that are priced well below what we hope and think they will average. So I guess with that in mind, our top five, Jono, take us away.
Thank you very much, Will. Yeah, it's an interesting lineup. And when we talk about last year's scoring, I really look at it from the perspective of a lot of our real champions from 2023 weren't able to play last season, which means we do have a lot of value in this line. And it's going to be really difficult, I think, to predict which ones are going to end up where. But I also think a lot of them are going to be very obvious value. So when I come into our top five, I'm looking at number one, Ange Stannett from the Fremantle Dockers. Number two, Chloe Malloy from Sydney. Number three, Bonnie Toogood from the Bombers. Number four, Zali Goldsworthy, as we talked about, at the Giants. And then number five, I've put down Caitlin Gould at the Crows. So that's my top five for the moment. And I'm going to try and go through a few of them in a bit more detail because, yeah, a lot of them aren't the price you would expect them to be.
Yeah, it's pretty great value for us that the players we expect to be the top three all come in underpriced.
Mm-hmm. Yep, lots of injury-affected scores coming through in this top five.
Yeah. I mean, let's start with number one. We've got Ange Stannett, who missed all of 2024 with an ACL injury. So, you know, very underpriced. I think drops somewhere in the space of like 30% on her price there. But she's well and truly back into full training. She averaged 73.9 in 2023, and in that year she started a new role, kind of jumping between the midfield and the forward line. Before that, she had never averaged over 46, but she'd always played it as a defender. So I'm not really worried about those previous years. I'm really just looking at what she did in 2023, and it was seriously impressive. I mean, this is a player who's become captain of the Dockers in a season she wasn't even playing in 2024. She's won their Best Club Woman of the Year award for the last few years running. Very, very impressive player. Now, we chatted with Tanisha Kikowak this preseason, and she told us that she's back playing full preseason training and has been playing a mix of midfield and forward again. So I'm not expecting her to go back to that back line. Has a very decent floor and is the type of player that I would expect pretty much no matter what happens, she's going to be thrown to wherever the Dockers need her, so that she's going to be following where the ball is.
Yeah, and we always say with Fremantle, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen to play across the midfield roles, even if it is a mid-half forward role, but you'd expect that the captain's probably a player that's going to be getting a preferential treatment when it comes to role, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I'd certainly hope so, because since she played in that role, we've got Ash McCarthy new to the squad, Gabby Newton new to the squad, and we've seen huge growth in Dana East and Megan Kaufman. So definitely something that's going to be tricky to squeeze into that midfield. I'm a little concerned about the start to the season.
It's funny you say that, Will, because the ex-skipper of Frio, Hayley Miller, definitely spent more time up forward than we wanted her to. We really wanted her in that midfield. So I'm actually I'm hoping that she doesn't follow in Miller's footsteps and actually sticks it out in the midfield with that CBA role she had last season. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, it's not a bad point. It's not a bad point. Yeah, the other flag that I have on them is their tough start to the season, because Port Adelaide, Brisbane and North Melbourne in their first three is a tough set of games. So I'm just a little bit unsure on, you know, what she's going to be scoring early. Nevertheless, I think she's enormous value. I've got no problem starting her in my side, and I expect her to be in and amongst the top players. I've currently got her number one, but it's very hard to predict what she's going to score this season.
Yeah, and simply put, she's priced at just under 60, which even if she averages around that and doesn't necessarily make us that much money, is still going to put her in the band of very fieldable forwards. So I think it's pretty hard to go wrong with Ange Stannett. Your number two is another fantasy favourite of everyone's.
Yeah, so Chloe Malloy, absolute superstar for years. Injured her ACL at training between weeks 1 and 2 last season, so missed the majority of the year. But if we look at the year prior, she averaged 80.9, again in a mix of a midfield and forward role, and arguably the Swans' best player. So I think she's another one that you want around the ball pretty much no matter what is happening. She's got a ceiling like few others. She's put up 137 before in 2023. So she's another one that I can really see tearing the house down. The main problems with Chloe Malloy that I can see are, again, it's in her absence, a lot of midfielders stepped up. So we saw Sophia Hurley take huge strides last season. So does that mean that Chloe Malloy spends a little bit more time forward, potentially? And she's also the type of player that if you're the opposition, you're planning for Chloe Malloy every week. So you've always got to keep that in mind.
Yeah, the good thing at least with Chloe Malloy is that she does have versatility. She's one of the players that if she does get stuck in a forward role, I'd still be okay with having. But of course, we want her in that midfield.
Yeah. I think both of these players at 1 and 2 can go 80 plus if they, you know, get things going their way early in the season. So it's going to be interesting. I'm very excited to see both of them play. Now, yeah, number absolutely. Number three is Bonnie Toogood. This is a Bombers player who hurt us a lot last season. I mean, 2 injured games where she scored 5 and 4 to sort of bookend each side of the season. It certainly hurt coaches.
Oh, yeah. She was the highest owned forward last season by a long way after being a rare 100 averaging forward. Mm-hmm. And then that first round injury just threw everything into chaos.
Yeah. I mean, that 102 average in 2023 was absolutely incredible. You know, between her impressive marking, goal kicking, there's a lot to like about what she does. And she was sort of thrown pretty much every side of the ball. You know, she'd float in front of the ball and behind the ball. She'd go into the contest. I think she was kind of their everything player. Last year, it was a little interesting because in the 4 games that she played where she wasn't injured, she still only averaged about 55. So the question is, you know, the Bombers have moved to a much more possession-heavy style of game. You know, they're trying to hold onto the ball and chip it around a bit more. She's not really the go-to target at all times. I can imagine that last year it was a role change that saw her stay a little bit more deep forward than she had in the past. We didn't see her float back behind the ball as often. And I can also imagine that, you know, when you do all these injuries throughout the year, you're also missing large chunks of the season. Your conditioning goes down. It definitely impacts things. So the question is, how far is she going to bounce back up this year? Given she's priced at about 38, I don't really think it matters. I think she is the easiest start in our forward lines, but I'm hoping for something in the 70 to 80 range. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think she's just such a unique, well, in such a unique position because, like you said, she had some lower scores last season when she was playing 230, like a 35 and a 36. I don't like the consistency of that score. That's actually lower than she's priced at now. But it almost doesn't matter if she goes back to averaging 50. I mean, I'm sure she'll go beyond that. But 50 is 12 points of headroom. And for pennies, she's such a lock, like knowing that she can go back to that 100-something average. Imagine getting 60 points of headroom on a forward that you pick up. Like, that would be absolutely crazy. It's almost like you can't risk not having her and watching her gain 60 points of average over a few rounds because you're not going to be able to catch that with any other player.
Yeah, like even 30 points of average is still a heap of money to make. So it's pretty hard to go wrong with Bonnie Toogood. I think that while she might not be quite the highest scorer if this does happen, I think she's, as you say, Jono, the easiest pick you'll get because it's going to be hard to find someone that can make you more money potentially.
Yeah, and the start of the season, it goes the Giants, West Coast, Richmond, Geelong, St Kilda. I think that's a pretty good start. Mm. So we could be seeing someone run away from us very quickly if we don't start her in our forward lines. Next up, pick number four. I think this is where we've got to throw in Zali Goldsworthy. She's our most expensive player in our forward line, but she is a forward that has a higher ceiling than almost any other player in the game, let alone any other forward. So when we look at her 2023 season, she averaged over 90 and had an incredible game of 168 against Carlton late in the season, kicking, I think it was 5 goals and having 24 touches, 12 tackles. It was truly incredible. Last season, there was a bit of a shift in role. In 2023, she was mostly a midfielder. Last year, she was a midfielder sort of at the center bounce, but then she'd move forward throughout the game. And this year, from all reports, it does sound like she's going to be spending even more time forward of the ball. So I'm a little bit concerned that drop-off in average is not just going to stay the same, but it might even drop a little bit further. But having said that, I can't see her dropping below 70.
Yeah, the fact that she actually attended more center bounces than any other Giants player, yet played something like 90% of game time at full forward is just wild strategically from the Giants. I tend to agree with you. With so many value options, paying up that full $1 million for a player, yes, it was, you know, 7 to 8 points worth of average above last year, but the Giants forward line isn't the friendliest place to play fantasy football, so it does concern me a little bit.
I can see a nice kind of synergy here if we think Toogood is coming in dirt cheap and is only going to go up in the first few rounds, and Zali Goldsworthy we know has that high scoring potential but might drop a bit. There's a little kind of shift you could be doing there. I think they both have value in your team, maybe just not both at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to people who play as a forward, you're not going to find many better scorers. So, I mean, if we're talking about trying to find someone who's going to be, you know, a safe top five that you'll be keeping all year, I don't really think you can find anyone better than Zali Goldsworthy. Mm. I mean, even just the silliest of stats, she has some of the highest time on ground of any player. You know, she's on, I think, 98% plus in both the last two seasons. Like, the potential for upside is always phenomenal. So I think with the amount of value that we've got in the game, she could be the type of player that you just spend up on anyway because, you know, the priority is points and not necessarily the value.
Mm.
Anyway, it's an interesting one to look at and consider. I think number five, Caitlin Gould, is another one that I really struggled to see who was going to go number five here. I've really strongly considered Onya Tye. But I think Caitlin Gould is going to be our number five on total points. She's very, very consistent. She's got a good ceiling. I think she had games of 102 against Geelong last year, 90 against Collingwood, 84 the Giants. And she builds a full stat line, which we love in our fantasy players. I mean, she was second for marks last season, third for goals, even 33rd in hitouts. And I think that was about sixth amongst non-dedicated rucks. So really quite an impressive stat line that she can score in so many different ways. I don't really see there being any major changes in the off season for the Adelaide forward line. So I personally think she's going to go that 65 plus again.
Yeah, I agree. This is an interesting one in comparison because we've been talking about like headroom, value, kind of lots of upside for the first four. But then Caitlin Gould is someone who she might not get that much more than she's priced at, but she's probably worth paying up for because she's going to be getting you that 70 most weeks. She's got a clear role. She's got a clear avenue to fantasy point scoring. It's across the scoreboard. Yeah, I think she's a really solid pick if, like, someone to put your money behind for, like, in exchange for those guaranteed solid forward points.
Yeah, and I think for me, I'd probably look at her as someone that you'd want to bring in to complete your team later in the season. Someone that you know you can pay up a decent amount of money and you're guaranteed to get a 60 from. You don't have to worry about fluctuations. I guess the main thing that concerns me about her as a starting pick is you look at her compared to Chloe Malloy. They're almost exactly the same price, and we think Malloy's probably got maybe 10 points of upside compared to Gould. So in that sense, I think that, yes, a great option if you just want to set and forget. Probably not exactly value, so probably someone that you're looking at to complete your team. So, yeah, some really interesting players there, and it's going to be super fascinating to see how that ends up.
Yeah, I have to say, I did feel very bad leaving out Onya Tai because she's an incredible player. She averaged 70.8 in 2023, but even last year, if you look at her, she only played the four games before going down with an ACL in the opening minutes of that fourth game. But if we ignore that fourth game, she was going at 83 across those first 3 weeks. She could really take the game away from us. And I think whenever she returns to the field, she's definitely going to be one that I prioritize getting in. It just sounds like she's still training with the rehab group at the moment. I'm not so sure she's going to be available in round one. So, I mean, we're only, you know, a couple of weeks out really from the season starting. I would be very hesitant to sort of plan around her at this stage.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Could be someone that makes a very interesting appearance in our team's mid-season, I reckon. So we're now going to have a bit of a chat about some of the undervalued premium options that we have, people that might just go a bit under the radar. I've decided that I'm going to start this one by talking about another tall Irish woman who likes to kick goals and take marks, which is Ash Maloney from Geelong. Averaged just shy of 68 last season. It's going to cost you $878,000 in that forward line. I think the thing that I really like about Ash Maloney is she's a focal point in that Geelong forward line. She's got a nice high ceiling, scored 115 against West Coast in round 9 last year. It's only her second season of AFLW football last season, and she's become an All-Australian leading goal kicker. So I think there's theoretically even greater improvement. I'm not sure it's quite up there with some of the players we've mentioned previously, but I think she could quite easily push her average into the 70s. Again, possibly more of an option to be a player you pick later up in the season. And it'll also be interesting to see how she goes if Chloe Shear returns from her toe injury. Basically, you're going to be putting two All-Australian caliber forwards into one forward line. So let's see how that goes. I'm very excited as a Geelong supporter.
I was about to say, fantasy aside, you're like, yes.
Mightn't be as good for fantasy, but regardless, Ash Maloney, I think, is another player, not dissimilar to Caitlin Gould, where you can probably fairly happily set and forget her at the start of the season if you do want a fairly reliable scorer.
Yeah, and for my pick, I've gone someone who's almost a combination of a set and forget and have some headroom. So I've got Jessie Wardlaw, and I was frothing her when we did our St Kilda episode. Yeah, we've already enjoyed talking about her at length there. But just to summarise, I love Jessie Wardlaw's ruck forward role. So playing in the forward and listed as a forward, but we saw last season that with the ruck situation going on at St Kilda, she was kind of chopping in and out there with her ruck capabilities, which helps with her hit-out points, but also helps her be on ground pretty much all the time. So they kind of need her in the side. There's always a role for Jessie Wardlaw, and this year is no exception. St Kilda's ruck position is almost even trickier now with Renee Karras sitting in that solo ruck, having Nolda retire and Emily Fiedler injured. So Renee Karras is probably going to be looking for some support from the chop-in ruck Jessie Wardlaw, which will keep her running around the ground and stacking up those points. And even just looking at last season, we saw this role get her, I think, plus 9 points of average from the season before. If she can be doing it again and maybe even a larger ratio in the ruck, I can't see why she couldn't go another 10 points on top of her average. But at the same time, she can be that kind of set and forget. She's priced at 65.3 or like 846K. Nice and middling price. Pretty consistent on her scoring with a decent floor. I think she's a really solid pick.
Yeah, no, I think they're both players who I was very strongly putting in for that fifth spot there. It's hard to figure out. There's so many players in that 60 band, and I think a lot of them have upside. Those two are definitely ones I'd consider. I went with, if I was trying to pick someone else in that band who could jump into the fifth spot on that top five, I'd be looking at Greta Bodie, mainly because I'm a Hawks fan and I love Hawthorn players. But, I mean, the thing was, she had her best season she's ever had from a fantasy perspective, and she did it through two different injuries throughout the year. And I think it's really about that role shift. So the two injuries at the start of the season, just before the first round, she actually broke up a dogfight and ended up having surgery on her hand and 10 stitches put in. And I think it really impacted her. You know, in the start of the season, you know, I mean, against Collingwood, she only had a 43, and she also had a 32 and a 37 in the first five rounds. She did also have that 123 game we talked about earlier against St Kilda, but I think that's because she's incredible, not because the hand injury wasn't bugging her. And then later in the season, she was actually managing a toe joint injury, which ended up with her missing weeks 8 and 9. But around that, she averaged 70 in that last half of the season. And I really think it's about her moving onto the wing. You know, she was pushing up the ground a lot more than she has in prior seasons and able to get her hands on the footy, delivering it inside for the Hawks. And, I mean, clearly it paid dividends. The Hawks were excellent last season. So I think if she can stay injury-free and keep that wing role, I think there's a potential for her to go above 70 this season, but very difficult to say. And she also does play Brisbane in round one, who she's never scored more than 32 against. So
did play a lot of her games for Brisbane, though.
Mm. That's true. That's true. That's kind of works both ways, though. So they've played a lot of games understanding her as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of really interesting options. And there's so many players that could jump up. We haven't even mentioned a few of the other players who have been really interesting options up forward. You've got Alistair Lachlan, who was a breakout Australian last year, averaged 66, slowed a bit in the back half of the season. Dom Carruthers, who had a lot of CBAs, was basically playing the opposite of what Zali Goldsworthy was doing. He was basically starting in the midfield, going up forward, and then coming back into the midfield. Very strange. Charlie Mullins, one of our absolute favourites here. Jono, been a huge fan of Charlie Mullins for a long time. Only averaged 55 last year, but is an up-and-coming star. And Katie Brennan is a player who we've always been, you know, floating around on the radar, has had some really high-averaging seasons in the past. Unfortunately, her body has let her down a little bit over the past few seasons, and we know Montana McKinnon's coming back as well, so could that mean there's even more people up forward for her to contend with? Not sure, but another fairly decent option there if you are looking for a bit of value in Katie Brennan. So now we get to the even more exciting options, the mid-priced madness. And given how much value there is in that underpriced premium area, this is actually a fairly thin band for us. But there are a few options. And one of the players that is a very interesting one, and he's just on the cusp, is almost a cash cow option, let's be honest, is the player you've got for us, Jono.
Yeah, so I've gone with Hannah Ewings, who has really had an interesting career to date. I mean, we talk about her debut year in, what, season 22B, where she averaged 61.3 as a rookie, playing as a midfielder forward hybrid kind of role for Port Adelaide, and managed to win their best and fairest in her first ever season, and was the Rising Star winner. Truly, truly impressive. 2023 didn't quite follow in the same footsteps, which was unfortunate. And then she ended up missing 2024 for personal reasons. It sounds like there was a bit of a mental health struggle there. And in the offseason, she's now gone over to Adelaide, which is a club that she has a lot of junior football history with. But to quote Hannah herself on Instagram very recently, she stepped away to find passion and is now stepping back in with purpose. I think we're going to see a lot of footy from her this year. I don't think she's going to be the absentee she was of the last couple seasons. The real question to me is, where does she fit into the Crows lineup? I think that on-ball unit is going to be very difficult for her to break into, and I think it's a lot more likely she's going to break onto the half-forward line, We know that Taylor Levy was one who left the Crows in the offseason, so I can see that being a one-for-one swap. So I'm not expecting huge numbers here. I'm not expecting her to come out and do a 60 to 70 sort of number. But I think given that she's priced at about 35, I think 50 to 55 is very much within reason. She's definitely a player that knows how to find the footy, can take marks, is an excellent kick, and a very long kick as well. I don't know if you guys remember that goal she kicked from 60 metres early on. Seriously impressive stuff. So I think that she's one that I'm very excited to see back on the park this year and could be a very profitable fantasy forward.
Yeah, at her price, I think it's definitely worth the punt. She's been out of the game, as you say, for the last year, so finding her feet back at AFL level is probably going to be the main thing, especially in a team as well-drilled as the Crows. If she does get sort of stuck as a small forward is probably the main worry. But as you say, Jono, she knows how to find the ball. We know how supremely talented she is. I think there's not a huge amount of risk with this one.
Yeah, and if I was going to find myself as a small forward in any club, I think Adelaide would be in the top handful I'd choose. It's not a bad position to be.
We're not talking a GWS or a Collingwood or a team where goals are hard to come by. She should get plenty of opportunity up forward for the Crows, and I think they'd be rather keen to get her involved as well, given her personal struggles. So hopefully the Crows can get around her and give her a few cheapies to help our fantasy team, if nothing else. Speaking of players who have missed the last season, for this one I've gone Kalinda Howarth at Collingwood. By all accounts, is really starting to hit the ground running. Not 100% certain to start the season, but is starting to get fit. Might be a really good downgrade option as the year progresses as well. A former All-Australian, has averaged over 50 twice, has missed the last basically season and a half with an ACL injury. Priced a little bit more expensive than Hannah Ewing's, but I still think there's probably 10 to 15 points of value there. As I said, I see this one possibly more as a mid-season downgrade target once we sort of see what her role is, more than maybe a starting option. Any thoughts on that one, Mel?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think knowing whether or not she's coming in totally fit and will be playing round one is important here, but we were so excited about her in previous seasons. So I think as soon as we see that she's going to be starting, or if she's shown a good kind of week or two, she has all of that potential to go a couple points above or 10 points or so above. So I think, yeah, I was quite excited about her in the Collingwood episode, so I think she's a good pick.
Yeah, I think that Collingwood are desperate for that forward half link player as well, and she's exactly what it can be. So hopefully we'll see her fairly early on. But if we're talking excitement in that forward half, Mel's gone for a different end of the scale. She's gone for a very recent draftee who has a lot of promise.
Yeah, I was really excited watching Elaine Grigg last season. So she's plays for the Bulldogs, priced at 41.9, coming off her first season. And she came in hot. She looked really dominant watching her play. She is quite a slim frame, but she has got a lot of strength to her. Watching her push people off and like throw her full body on top of the ball, she really was putting her body on the line for the game there. Super eager. And her tackling is also such a strength of hers. I think the best game she had last season, she racked up 10 tackles, as well as having a solid amount of disposals in each game. So I think coming into her second season, she's already shown that she is like bursting with energy, and I think she can definitely be going above 41.9.
Yeah, and that game you mentioned with the 10 tackles was an 81 against Carlton, really showed what she could be going forward. Only had one other score above 50, but for a first-year draftee to average
to play all of the season
forward line. Yeah, for a forward line that realistically didn't get a huge amount of opportunity in the Bulldogs, huge amount of potential there. And even if it doesn't end up being this year, I think Elaine Grigg's going to be a player that we're going to be looking at in our forward lines for many years to come. The honourable mentions for this line, a lot of them are basically a lot of young stars. We've got Montana Ham, who we all thought was going to be a really big body midfielder in the Charlie Robottom mold, but injuries just sort of held her back a little bit, unfortunately. Finally had a proper preseason injury free, which is probably the biggest thing. So if she does get that midfield time, her average of 52 from last year could really, really jump up. Paige Scott is a player that we've had our frustrations with, it must be said, given the penchant that they've had for giving away free kicks mostly. But they're now at a team in Richmond where hopefully they'll get a bit of midfield half-forward time and they play a role that's a bit more suited to what Scott does.
So we talked a little bit before about a game style not suiting Bonnie Toogood. Paige Scott is one. The game style did not suit them at all. I mean, they are a crash and bash type of player. They don't want that slow kick mark style. So I think the chaos that happens at Richmond is probably going to suit them much better. That is a heavy tackle game style. I think the way that the ball comes into forward 50 is going to suit them a lot more.
Interestingly, though, Scott's largest score last season had no tackles. It was a 65 in round 6, and you could tell they were laser-focused on the scoreboard, I think as one goal, one behind. No tackles. So I'm wondering, because the tackles lead to those frees, which averages 2.4 last season, frees against. So love that. Yeah. But I'm like, maybe tone it down a bit on the tackling. I know that's their strength, but for fantasy purposes, a bit more on the scoreboard.
No, 100%, 100%. If they would just manage to tackle, you know, 20 centimetres lower, I think they'd have a hell of a time, hell of a fantasy game about them.
I'm actually super impressed that we've managed to find a player that we're like, we want them to tackle less to score more fantasy points. I don't think I've ever come across that, which is absolutely wild. Other players that we might talk about are Taylor Levy, you mentioned before, Jono coming to the Giants from Adelaide. Talked about having a bit of potential to flow through that midfield at the Giants, but mostly going to be a pressure forward. Only averaged 36.7, so plenty of scope and plenty of upside potentially. We've also got a pair of Melbourne players who probably performed a bit less than we were wanting last season as well.
Yeah, so the two being Eden Zanker and Taylor Harris, I think both of them are going to be great improvers this season. They're both priced in the mid-40s. I think Eden Zanker is a little bit more expensive at 625K, but last season, she really was the focal point of that forward line with Harris out, really being supported by Georgia Gall, who's quite new, I guess, and also Alyssa Bannon, who kind of had to move off being a streaming running player and play more of a key forward role. So very much a challenge, and I think whilst also managing that patella tendon injury that she had throughout the season. So I think with Harris back, kind of taking a little bit of pressure off her, she's going to perform a lot better. And then Harris is so cheap compared to what she's done in the past. Missed most of last season with that shoulder injury, seemed to plague her. But I think coming back to the side, I don't think she'll miss much. She's not going to be coming back in slow. I think she'll be straight back in and scoring to her potential straight away.
Yeah, and it's the flow and effect of those players being back is exactly the thing that is of most interest. You said it perfectly, Jono. Harris back helps Zanker. Zanker playing well helps Harris. For Melbourne's sake, they'll be really wanting those two to fire. And I think even if they average mid-50s, there's a fair bit of value there for both of them. So now we move into the cash cows option, and we've kind of talked a little bit about how some of our mid-priced options are really just on the cusp of being cash cows, because there's a few players that we'll talk about that are only slightly cheaper than the Hannah Ewings. But before we do, there's two players that we need to talk about that you probably need to steer clear of. One of them because they're not playing at all, and one of them due to injury. The first one is Celine Moody, who has retired but is still in the game. I'm not sure if it's a product of the auto pick or whether it's a recognition of the name, but Celine Moody for Carlton is not playing this season. So if you do have her on your bench, I would highly recommend moving her on. And the next one is Lauren Young, which is a really big shame because we talked her up quite a bit, but unfortunately is still recovering from that ACL injury and isn't expected to take the field until mid-season. So a very good potential downgrade target later in the year, but for someone to start, you're probably going to need to look elsewhere. And I mean, where else to look but where Mel has gone for her cash cow option. What a great option it is.
Yeah, so I was having a look and I reckon Amber Clark has some potential. So Amber Clark didn't start off her last season too well. She ran into Bonnie Toogood, which led to Bonnie's injury and Amber's concussion in round one against Freo, which saw us miss Toogood for that part of the season. But once she came back from that,
there were some big improvements in her fantasy scoring towards the back end of the season. She's only priced at 26.4, but we've seen in previous seasons she can get up to those high 30s. And so in the off-season, Amber's moved over to St Kilda. So I'm thinking kind of new club, new potential, gets back with a full season under her, can get back to that kind of higher average. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. went deep into the abyss in my brain for a second there. So, yeah, she's solid for disposals, but playing that like half forward wing role. And interestingly, her season 9 score had a -1 in it because we do love to pick them. That was 3 free againsts off 2 tackles and a little something else to end with a -1. So given that's baked in there, probably 10 points of upside, but this is not like the cashiest cash cow. Not going to lie, I was finding it a little bit tricky.
I actually think that this is a great option just because of the new club aspect of it. I think that Amber Clark, probably similar to what we're saying, wasn't really suited to the kick mark game style that Essendon was playing. Moving to a club in St Kilda where, you know, that small forward role might actually be open for, especially if some of the players that have previously played that role, such as Nikki Zenos and Janome Anderson, are moving further up the ground. I really don't mind this option, actually. I think it's not a bad one.
Thank you. And what about yours?
So I've gone for Bella Smith from Geelong. Bearing in mind there is also a Bella Smith in your forward line you could pick from Fremantle. Bella Smith from Geelong came across to Geelong as a young, highly rated midfielder drafted originally to Brisbane. Struggled for opportunity in that Geelong midfield. It's a very tight-knit group. But towards the end of last season, started to pick up a few centre bounce attendances. Didn't quite translate into big scores just yet, but she is still only 21-22, so there's plenty of time to develop. The other thing that I like about her is that she was taking some of the CBAs from Darcy Maloney, and Darcy Maloney is now at Sydney. So that next in at the centre bounce role seems to be hers, especially because one of the other players that did get centre bounces at Geelong was Rebecca Webster, who we suspect will be playing more off halfback to cover for Chantelle Emmonson. So with all that in mind, you've got a $370,000 priced young midfielder forward in your forward line, decent role. I'm just hoping it translates to scores, basically.
What do you reckon her upside is?
I reckon her upside is getting a lot of midfield time and hopefully getting around a 50.
Nice. That'd be solid. I'd take that.
That'd be solid. Yeah, if basically I'm hoping she can replicate what Darcy Maloney did when she was at Geelong. Darcy Maloney was usually a fairly solid 50 to 60 player, and if we're getting that from a player at her price, I'd be stoked with that. Now, Jono, you've got another Geelong player, one that we have previously mentioned, and one who is slightly more expensive than my Geelong player, but an absolute superstar if she can get on the park.
Yeah, look, it was tough to find any cash cow options in his forward line. I think it's really tricky. There was one that I was a little bit keen on from the Giants, but I could not figure out how to pronounce her last name. So I've gone a little more expensive than the cap allows at 426K, Chloe Shear. So missed all of 2024 with a toe issue, but we know that Chloe Shear is an absolute jet. She's been an All-Australian forward back in season 7. And I think has the chops to quite easily go those high 40s, low 50s sort of average. She has the ability to push ceiling games and really break a game open with her goal-kicking power. The real issue, I suppose, is she fit? Because as far as we can tell, she does seem touch and go for round one. I think Kate Sermon seems to be confident, speaking at their AFLW community camp, saying that she's on the right track, but that is really the only indication that I've heard so far this season. So a little bit of a worry there. But if she does play round one, even though it's a tough fixture to start the year, I'm pretty happy to roll straight into her.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's basically just comes down to whether she's fit or not is pretty simply the way it goes. For Chloe Shear, I think you're right. It is quite tough to find genuine cash cow options. We're probably going to be waiting to see if there's basically draftees that get named early on, but There have been a few interesting names that have come up in a few of our interviews from Brisbane, Ronnie Crozier and Sinead Davison, who's a player that we have previously quite liked the look of, but didn't quite get a good run at it last year. Alyssa Pisano from Melbourne, Matilda Banfield at Frio. Apparently there are other options at Frio, Mel.
Oh, yes, there's many other options at Frio. And it's going to be tricky to pick which one it'll be, I think. So we saw Frio drafted two like tall athletic forwards. We got Georgie Brisbane at 28.4 and Evie Parker at 23.2. So both kind of other in this range. Evie Parker in particularly like tall winger potentially. So I think it'll just be around which of these forward draftees start. But they all seem to have different levels of excitement around them. So I think there's a handful of options at Frio, but it'll kind of come down to who's starting because I think any of them sound quite exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of other options to quickly mention. We've got Laura Stone at Hawthorn, Nell Morris-Dalton, who unfortunately has had several injuries in their time at Collingwood. And we've also got another Irish woman from JWS. Jono, do you want to give that one a talking?
Oh, I would love to. This is Grace, I'm going to say Koss, Grace Koss.
Is that the one you were afraid to pronounce? Koss sounds fine.
It's an Irish last name, so I don't really say that confidently. But in the absence of Eilish O'Dowd, who's still in Ireland, Grace has been doing the majority of the ruck work this preseason and is probably going to carry that role into the season. So if we look at what O'Dowd did last year, she brought so much excitement and pace to that midfield. And that could be a similar sort of fantasy scoring potential we could see from Grace Koss here. So a very exciting one to potentially bookmark if she does get that role to start the season.
The latest I heard was Eilish O'Dowd may miss round one, but do we know if she's coming back from Ireland at all?
I've been, from what I can see, she's planning on early August arrival, which with nice. August 14 being the first day of the season, that's going to be cutting
early August season start as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes because we could be getting an interesting ruck combination. It could be a Davies ruck opening maybe, who knows. But yeah, it's going to be super hard to pick your rookie forwards. I think that's going to be a big watch in the preseason to see which cheap options are going to be value for us. Which ones are going to play is probably also really important. Yeah, the forward line is such an interesting line for us. There's value on all sorts of lines and there's absolutely confusion as well. So it's going to be a really, really difficult line to get right. So who do you guys reckon is your first pick, your lock? And what is your plan for the line? I'll start with you, Mel.
I would love to just stack my team with Frio players because I think there's a lot of very interesting players across all of the lines this season. But in the absence of that, I am locking in Bonnie Toogood because I think that value is just such a opener for wiggle room across all the other lines, even across the forwards. Like coming in so cheap with such a guaranteed headroom, I think she buys me space and I'd probably even be starting her even if she wasn't that cheap because I think she's a solid forward. So, yep, Toogood is in and hopefully we don't have a round one repeat.
Absolutely. Jono, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm very much on Mel's train of thought here. Bonnie Toogood's definitely the first player that I locked into my side. But beyond that in the forward line, I think for me it's Hannah Ewings. I think she is very, very cheap for what she could deliver. So I think she's another with tremendous value.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, the other one, again, tremendous value. I'm going to lock in Ange Stannett.
Great.
A player who we know can average 80 and is at such a great price at that, you know, 766K. I think a lot of people are going to be building their forward lines around these sorts of players.
Yeah, I always have these rules around not starting too many injured players coming back. And so with Toogood locked in, I keep swapping between Stannett and Molloy, just going, I know I want one of them, but I think they're both great options. It's really hard to decide.
At this stage, I've decided to forego your rule and get all three of them. I think that the value is just so good in this forward line.
The poetry of starting our forwards episode talking about Ange Stannett and then ending it talking about Ange Stannett as the host's pick for the forward lock is just beautiful. Ange Stannett sandwich is the forward line this season.
And Mel definitely has no vested interest as a Freo supporter in that one.
Not at all.
Look, we'll leave it there, everyone. But thank you so much for listening. We've got heaps of content coming out. Make sure you're following us on the socials. We've gone through the lines. We've got the Ruck episode coming up next. And we've got plenty more team talk to go through as well. You can also read our articles on our Substack. So much great content. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
See ya.